Happy Father's Day, everyone. It's June 19th.
She has company, but she needs prayer for her hips and feet.
Lord, we just ask that you have your hand upon our service today, Lord God. We ask that you continue to send your Spirit. We ask that you continue to have favor among your people. We thank you for the healings that you have been, and grace and mercy that you've been showing upon us, Lord God, and we ask that you continue that. We ask that you would let your gifts become more popular, more frequent, Lord, and let them be exercised within our body. Lord, we just love and appreciate you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Not overly anointed because I don't want spiritual gifts to be confused with being popular, but beyond that,
speaking of spiritual gifts, this just has been on my heart. I think I've said it. I've said it at the women's prayer meeting. I've said it here, and I keep saying it and keep saying it. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, and this is the New International Version. Now, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And I'm stopping there because it's like God is just saying, okay, you guys need to start taking, you are the body of Christ. You are part of it. You need to start stepping up. Okay? There you go. And God has placed in this church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are we all apostles? And there's a question mark. Are we all prophets? Question mark. Are we all teachers? Question mark. Do we all work miracles? Question mark. Do all have the gifts of healing? Question mark. Do all speak in tongues? Question mark. Do all interpret? Question mark. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. And I just keep saying that because we need to keep asking. God wants this church to be a church of what he's asking in this. There you go. I got my 2-cent letter in the mail this morning from God. And he said we need to be asking more and more for the gifts. The gifts are such an essential part of this body, of all the people in it. We've had far too much sickness. Charlie having COVID again, I just rebuked that in the name of Jesus. Charlie Schaefer does not have to keep having COVID. I just claim healing over his body right now. Charlotte is home right now. She has pain in her knees and her feet. And Lord, we're just going to ask that you just take care of that right now. She's walked with pain way too much. And we're going to claim it in your name, Lord, that this doesn't have to be. Keith has suffered so much from his joints, his not walking, his whole body. We're just going to ask, Lord, take that away from him. He doesn't need it. The gifts of the Spirit are flowing right now in this body. Take away all that pain right now in your name, Jesus. Barb does not need to have all these issues that she has. She's a trooper. She hangs on with God through thick and thin, Lord, and we're just going to pray over her right now that she does not have to have this. In your your name, Jesus, we're just going to claim that. We're just going to claim a healing, a cleansing. Pablo does not have to suffer through this stroke right now. He can walk. He cannot have pain. He's going to be restored. We're going to claim it in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And all these things are going to happen. We need to ask as a body for all the gifts.
Yes.
The gifts are there.
Yes.
Let's claim them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus. Don't forget to pray for Susan.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes
I receive it.
When we pray for others, we
yes.
need to pray for
yes.
ourselves.
Yeah, I didn't pray for them.
Father, I ask you,
yes.
you know what the needs are.
Yes.
I give you Susan, Father.
Yes.
She's yours. She
Amen.
Belongs to you.
Yes.
Before we even knew she existed.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I put her again in your hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
To take care of her. To hold her and protect her and give her all the goodness that is necessary that she can overcome what she needs to overcome.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, I claim that and I ask you and I thank you that you are giving us this freedom to ask for it.
Yes.
Father, I put her, we all put her in your hands.
Thank you.
For your goodness. For your good work to start working even at this very moment, Father.
Thank you. And it wasn't that I wasn't praying. I mean, I'm praying for everybody, but the things that were just on my heart, because God is going to touch Corky, Ken, Bonnie, Candy, Felicity, Redeep,
everybody.
The tall guy, Eli, Chuck. Glenn, I mean, it is, you know, yes.
Jill and Josh.
Yes, even the people who aren't here. I mean, God, he's just asking.
Mm-hmm.
He is. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not sorry. I keep saying this, but he keeps putting it upon my heart. We need to ask. He's given us a list of things to ask for.
No,
you can pick and choose.
For as much as God knows everything,
yeah.
He knows what we need, but he still says that he wants us to ask.
Yes.
Okay, I know what you need. Now you need to ask. You know what I mean? It's
Amen.
Like weird.
Yeah.
The first step of faith is asking.
Yeah.
There's a question mark behind each one of those. Are all of you good? No. You need to pick and choose. And he's given us a nice list. We don't have to just, I don't want that one. Mm-hmm. No. We can pick and we can ask. And he's going to hear us and he's going to answer our prayers. So we can go home now.
And I ask for anointing for everyone.
Yes.
Susan, if you apologize for your prayer, I will pray for you.
There you go.
That's Glenn's gift to you.
Yeah. No apology. I'm not gonna be sorry.
Amen.
I mean, I think you got the text from Corky yesterday. I mean, our good friend Larry Curran, his brother-in-law, chest pain in the hospital, has to have open heart surgery Monday. I mean,
tomorrow.
I mean, these things just, you know, God has a plan, and I know he wants his followers, his believers, to walk in that faith and not accept those things and go and pray for people. And, you know, I don't know, it's just time to put on our running shoes of faith and run into the flames instead of backing off going, somebody else is going to take care of it. I'll stand over here and pray. But no, he wants us to jump in with both feet because we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it says if one part suffers, every part suffers in the body.
Yes.
So
gospel. If one of us is suffering, we all are suffering with them.
Yes.
Amen.
So I don't want to suffer anymore, so you guys get your act together.
Authority. Lord, give her more authority.
Okay, so we all know Hebrews 11. And this has been on me the last few days. Of course, I don't have my Bible, but Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith,
mm-hmm.
Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's kind of a strong statement. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place where he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in the foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitudes, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. But now they desire a better, whatever. Oh, and then by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. You know how what that would take for parents? Moses' parents had enough faith that they had to hide him because he saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. I mean, everything is by faith. Have to by faith. Plan, but by faith. I can tell you, in the last 6 weeks, I don't think I've grasped for more faith than ever before in my entire life.
No, I don't know. See, you think you know, anyways. I thought, okay, so by faith, if you have faith, God will take care of you, and he does. But, I was being faithful, not relying on man. I'm relying just on God for my infirmity. And I had a stroke. You know what I mean? Because I said I want to rely on God, not on man. but I had a stroke. And what can be read is 100% true. But there's an understanding we need to fit in there that I don't think I have or I don't have fully. But God still took care of me. You know what I mean? By saying, I rely 100% on Him. Now, I'm taking the medicines of man. And I have to take it. If not, I will have another stroke. It's just that simple. My blood pressure will go up way up high. I'll have another stroke. So I need to understand now at what point was what. And this is what I believe today. It's like I've been trusting in God, but I've been tempting God with my health. Because even when I thought I was taking care of myself, I wasn't. And I thought I wasn't. So I wanna rely 100% in God, but I'm tempting God with my health. When I thought I was taking care of myself the way I was eating, I wasn't still. I was still super overeating, way overeating. It wasn't bad stuff, but it was a lot of good stuff that was not good. And you can't tell me that you can be 300 and some pounds and because you're so healthy. No. I mean, there's obviously, I'm doing something wrong. And now I have to take this man-made thing. And obviously, I'm not against it because I'm using it. And to not take it, it will be foolish because it will kill me. It will kill me if I don't. My blood pressure will be like it was. You know what I mean? But still, I trust in God. My trust is in God. It's the pills are keeping my blood pressure down, but my trust is 100% in God. And through this whole thing, you know, since 6 weeks ago, I've learned. You know what? You think you've learned. I've learned nothing, and every day, God has shown me a lot of who I am, and in the man way of saying things, it's like, oh man, I want to at some point be like I used to be, and like I was telling Ken and Corky yesterday, I think I told both of them, I don't want to be like I used to be, because the old Pablo, the 6 weeks old Pablo, that's the old Pablo. I don't want that Pablo. Nobody wants it. Now it's time for a new Pablo. Mm-hmm. A Pablo that takes care of himself, that walks with God. For as much as I thought that I was walking with God, I wasn't. For as much as it looked like I was walking with God, I wasn't. You know, at the moment, I was comforted the way I was doing things, but I was wrong. I'm on that. And I am thankful. I am thankful. You have no idea how much thankfulness I have that God has shown me. Show me that I was wrong. And you know what? Realizing that you're wrong is one of the ways God has very many ways of blessing you. It's a big blessing. You know, being able to accept that you have been wrong is huge. If you can say, oh, I was wrong, but you know what? I'm not right today because I'm still growing. I'm still growing. What I know today, what I've learned for today, is good for today. Tomorrow it might be a total whatever, but I know I'm right for today. This I'm not gonna bring it with me for tomorrow because tomorrow it's gonna be different. Mm-hmm. And anyways.
Are you thankful for your stroke?
I am thankful for my stroke. It the pain, oh, I have it even right now. The pain is so bad. It's so bad. And I pray that it goes away. But I'm thankful because through this disaster, God is doing a good work. And I don't know. I don't know how else to do it. I don't know how else God could have done it. You know what I mean? This good work. But he's doing it. He's doing an amazing work in everyone of my kids, my girls, my boys, in Vidit, in every, he's doing it in my wife, you know what I mean? He's doing such an amazing work. And sometimes this is what we need. You need to get sick, you need to be crippled or whatever in order for God to do this. You know, and I'm thankful. But I'm not done being thankful. I want to be thankful when I don't have. I want to be thankful that I have no more pain, because this is so debilitating. Anyways, I'm talking perfect.
Well, I am chopping it a bit because this is for Radit's benefit too. I was mowing grass, which I've been doing a little bit of lately, and I got a little something from the Lord, and you touched on it. A different way. I think we in this church and others have been under a little deception. We like to use the phrase man-made. And we've used it as a way to put a shield of faith around something. If it's man-made, I'm not being faithful to God. And that is deception. There is nothing you can do that isn't from God. I don't care what chemical you take, what medication you take. It came from something that God created. Everything on this planet is from God. Even if there's a part that was never made naturally, the parts it came from were made from God. To say that you can only do this and say, but that's man-made, and therefore I'm not walking in faith, is insulting God in the sense of, well, where did that come from? We have used this argument to defend the Big Bang Theory. Where did this come from? Oh, it was just there. Well, where did that come from? Well, it was just there. Any chemical that is out there came from something that God created. And God anointed someone to take that thing that God gave, and that thing that God gave, and made a medicine, or a herb, or a plant. I mean, it's funny. We think if you eat organic food, it's God, from God. The seeds have been engineered by man. The corn you buy today is not the corn that God created when he made it. The earth has been changed by God influencing man. So I think if people just say, we can't do this because we're showing a lack of faith, that's not giving God his due. Blood pressure medication, heart medication, pick any medication you want. It came from things that God created. Maybe not laying where you pick it up like a piece of cotton, but God had his hand on how it got to be there. And I think that we just have to be careful. As you said, you know if you don't don't take some of this medication, it's bad. And the flip side of this is, and I struggle because I don't know, and I wouldn't have said anything except that you started down that path, because this has been, I don't have the full revelation here, but if you get to a point where you know this can help you, but you say it's from man, and I'm not going to do it because I'm lacking faith, and I struggle with how's that any different than throwing out a fleece? God, you will protect me. If you want this to happen, you will do this. And I don't know that line. I don't know the line. I think having faith that God will heal you is exactly where you need to be. How you get healed? I'm a little bit not as solid on that as it's just sunshine and water. I just don't know. But I think it's wrong to say that if God has given someone this ability and all of a sudden, you know, you eat pomegranates with blueberries with aspirins and you're not sick anymore. Well, how is that not God? You know? So, I don't know. But I do think to say that if you can't have faith in something that quote unquote is a man made, there's nothing that you can get that isn't from God at some point. So you have to be careful.
My desire is to not have to depend on this medicine for a long time. Now, I may have to, you know, I don't think that my relationship with God is going to hinder, you know, what I don't agree. But
Andy, you made a comment, and as I told, I shared with you about Susan. You only maybe need blood pressure medication for a season.
Right.
God can fix that.
Right.
So, you know.
But I know I have it, and I know he hasn't. And I know that I, in this life, this man in life, I damage my body. You know what I mean? And I may have to myself fix it. Can I fix it? Yeah, but he's not gonna. He's not. Because it will be tempting. You can't be a living example of tempting God. You know what I mean?
Well, he gives us a free will.
Right.
We chose to become.
Right. Right.
But
this is my choice. Anyways, So what am I doing now? I'm taking care of myself better. You know. So I wanna. I need to take care of myself. I need to put in my body now. I put a poison now. He can, in a measure, you know, if everything is good in a measure. Yeah, but I mean, you can a little bit of poison is still poison. Okay, measure it. It's poison. You know, don't put it in your body. Period. You know what I mean?
The best example of that is you can't live without water. You drink too much water, it kills you.
Right.
So I don't care. Pick whatever you want to use as your discussion point. It's got to be the right amount. You can miss under and you can miss over on everything. So a little poison might not kill you, but it's probably not good for you.
But a little poison over time. That, you know, and I was saying something to him yesterday when we were walking in the house. I said something about, well, you know, I mean, everything in moderation, and it's whatever to say that you're never going to have whatever. And he says, it's poison. And
I'm not to the point that I can have a little bit of poison. I already had a little bit of poison every day of my life.
Right.
I'm to the point that I need to stop it because I already had it. So I can't have a little bit in moderation poison. Mm-hmm. I'm done doing the poison
in moderation is kind of an oxymoron. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He said, in the same essence, a little bit of poison is.
Now, I don't know that.
joy we're getting in that phone back.
I don't know that. Now, there's bigger things. There's bigger things. When this is all done, I'm not going to go push people eat better. You know what I mean? No, I'm going to tell them to find their God, to have a relationship with Him, to live with them. You know what I mean? That's the message. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm sharing right now is just my personal right now. You know, it's my personal something. It's not the gospel. The gospel is fast, way fast. How you eat, how you
right. It says the kingdom of heaven is not eat and drink.
Yeah.
However, you.
I think Glenn's trying to get in there.
Oh, sorry. I'm watching my dad struggle with his phone over here, so I didn't even look at Glenn.
Oh,
yeah.
She was back. Barbara Fairway taken out. No. We all know thyroid's important to her body, but she's going to be taking that thyroid medicine the rest of her life.
Right.
You know?
Or hang with that.
Yeah.
Or
so, I mean, there's sometimes medication is necessary for existence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Same with blood thinners and blood pressure and,
right.
You know.
Or people with cancer, they have to have treatment.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean,
but I'm thankful that the Lord has shown you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happened. And that, like you say, that's not necessarily everybody. But that's what the Lord has shown you. And you can testify to that. It's not that you're changing the scripture or anything, you know.
Isn't it pretty foundational to say that everybody's path to God is unique?
Yeah, I was going to point out something. Because God is God. So what did Jonah do? Or not Jonah. Who's the one that is always friends were accusing him?
Job.
What did Job do wrong?
Yeah.
Nothing. God just decided to use him. So, you know, it's not always because we may not be doing something right or wrong. It's up to God what He wants to do. You know, so the crazy thing is there's no pat answer.
I think for Pablo's thing was, as you were a witness, well, and I'm the witness of every single day for the last however many years since he's decided, whatever, was he literally asked God the night before, and that morning before church, I said, you know, I really hope, I said, we have to get this under control. I don't even want to know what the next thinking is going to be from the Lord. But he literally asked the Lord, and then he told you that Sunday night. He came home and told me what he told you. And then he Monday morning said, you know, now it's hit him strong, is this shall come with prayer and fasting. So he specifically asked the Lord for something, and he answered his prayer that day. Not a month later, not a week later. He knew. Pablo's been asking, how many years have Pablo asked for weight loss? How's my eating? He wasn't ready. You know what I mean? God knew his desire. He was ready at that. And he told me that morning, you know, we've only fasted for weight loss. What's weight loss? It's so you look better and you feel better, whatever. But he said, we're going to fast today for our health. No excuses. Well, then I had two excuses. And I was in that period. That next period. You know, I was like, well, I shouldn't be fasting this week. He said, look at me in front of me, like, he says, no excuses. We're going to fast and pray for deliverance. I need a deliverance over this. So that was something specific for him. Because there's other people walking around with 300 pounds that they've got a fake knee and a fake shoulder and a fake elbow. And then there's other people walking around with 300. They will maybe have a little bit of diabetes. You know what I mean? But that was something specific for him that he asked the Lord, this shall come with prayer and fasting. And the Lord answered him that day.
And when God says, yeah, you pray about this, but, oh, this specific stuff? Prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
This one. Prayer and fasting. And for me, it was maybe my overeating. For you guys, it could be a it's not your word, obviously. Most of you are, you're not aware, it's your, who knows. But for me, that was by prayer and fasting.
Because we prayed a million other times.
We prayed. This specific one, prayer and fasting.
It isn't God's time.
Right.
It isn't God's time.
Right.
And doesn't, you know, a thousand times, God goes,
right.
But, you know, it's kind of like, why was Jonah in the whale only 3 days? Well, it only took 3 days. Because that's what Jonah, you know. Jonah could have been in the whale for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that's what God said it was going to take. You know,
some of us, it could have been an hour, others
could
have been a month. Yeah.
You know, the other thing is.
Still be there.
There's always two aspects, because people that decide to take something, medication, drugs, to keep themselves healthy, say, yeah. That's the way. And then there's people that never take anything and go, well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't give a pat answer for everybody. It's
yeah, and through Pablo's, I don't want to say Pablo's ministry, but through whatever, Pablo's always, you know, been like, just point them to the Lord. You know, you got all this sin, you got all this, and I got all this. But just go to the Lord, and then he'll always say, and don't even be like, mommy, don't even listen to anything I just said, just open your Bible. And so everybody's existence, and really it's the heart. Work out your own salvation. It's the matters of the heart. So if every morning you have to exercise, and every morning somebody else gets up and starts your day with a donut and a Gatorade, well, that's going to be between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's not the message. What?
That's an option.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And very quick interjection, this is not spiritual, but some of us love baking, and we are not going to eat at all. And so she made cupcakes last night and brought so that everybody can have a cupcake today. So we brought a few plates so you can take some home to whoever you're with. But she wants to bless people with cupcakes and, you know, everything in moderation. So just before I forget, we have... Anywho, so you can't. So the message of the gospel, like the Bible says, you know, kingdom of heaven is not food or drink. However, it is my job to tell my children. It is my job. If I have a friend that is like, oh, I got this chronic something while they're guzzling, whatever, I can, well, from experience, exercise and not starting your day with a, you know, 500 grams of sugar muffin. Might, you know, whatever, but that's not deterrent or whatever to their salvation. And so my true thing is to love them. And the people learn by example, you know. So if you're doing something and somebody's like, oh, they're doing really good, I might want to be like that and do that. That's the best way to be a living example.
Mm-hmm. And look,
you
know? I'm thinking of Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of example is that?
I know.
He was having this and that and that, but he kept coming back. God gave him a new kidney for one.
Yeah.
But the guy was sick a lot.
Joey
you know?
Posted something the other day that he said, you know, his dad lived with chronic pain
mm-hmm.
his entire life.
Yeah.
He had nine bouts of cancer, died six times legally, or if I was to say legally, medically.
Yeah.
He died and he had cancer. He had every part, and you know, he was in Africa. People were getting up out of wheelchairs, and he was debilitated with cancer someplace, you know.
Yeah.
And just
kind of like that was the price for his ministry.
Correct.
And
correct.
That was his, I mean, maybe not overgeneralizing, but that was his thorn
correct.
In the flesh.
Jerome ministered in Ukraine for a couple of weeks. Back in about 95 or 96.
Sure.
I can use my dad's gold.
I don't know if I saw him walking that fast before the stroke.
I don't. And he usually will pick up the cane and start walking with.
Oh, he's motoring.
Where are you going to go all the way upstairs?
We were talking before about the things being man-made or God-made. In the beginning was the Word, and then the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Yeah, in John 1:1. So it just says everything is made by God.
Well, it's, to be honest, so I think you got to put in there that man can abuse what they're made.
Yeah.
They can make ingredients that aren't healthy.
Right.
You know.
You can take ingredients to make a bomb. You can take ingredients to do drugs. You can,
So
it is what it is. I mean, but I was just thinking that life has just had a big turnaround. I mean, I had an uncle who I never met, and his in the 1940s he fell off of a ladder and ruptured his appendix and died. Because they didn't know how to help back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and nowadays he would have been fine.
Sure.
You know, so it's those things that you just don't, I mean, am I grateful that now, I mean, hey, if somebody has a ruptured appendix, they can help them. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But back then, he died. And leaving a family of like five kids and a wife, you know, I mean, was that a good thing from God? But, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody ever blamed God. It was just because nothing had gotten to that point where there was anything that he could do for anything.
Yeah, sometimes accidents are made by our own stupid mistakes.
Oh yeah.
And we've got nothing to do with it. We're all stupid and sick.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful with blaming.
Should you be on that roof holding the lightning rod?
Oh, yeah. Don't be blaming God for something you did. Yeah. Which I think in a way is kind of what I thought I heard Bob saying.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you said you're not blaming God for the stroke. I mean, you just, but in your case, that's what it took maybe to get your full attention. Or not to say you didn't have motivation or whatever. You've all heard me say that, you know, I'm sure I could have a more upright walk if I had a Damascus Road experience in my college. And I'm saying, you know, I wish it wasn't so, but I think if the Lord made me blind for 3 days and spoke to me and said, these are the things you got to do, I'd go, I'm really listening to you right now. I'm not being distracted. I don't care who's playing on the TV right now. I'm paying attention. You know, you got my attention.
Corky, you think that's all you did, but it's way more than that. We think that we need 3 days in blind. Oh my God. You know, yeah, you will get our attention for a little bit, but we as humans are so bad at losing our focus. Yes, what we need, yes or yes, is the Spirit of God in us. Without the Spirit of God, you can have all the roads to Damascus for a long time. You're going to do great for 10, 12, 15, 20 days. Then you're going to
So you're saying it's a good start.
It's a good start.
It's a good start.
Well, while you were gone, I was just saying, I mean, if you had to have a stroke, I'm glad you live now. I mean, because I was saying I had an uncle who I never met, and I mean, I everybody in my family was old before I met him. But in the 1940s, he fell off a ladder, ruptured his appendix, and died because they didn't know how to help him. So the fact that you now, I mean, the medical thing was more advanced to help you, and I'm grateful. I mean, you know, it was, and it wasn't, it's not lack of prayer, and it's not lack of anything. It was lack of, I mean, it was like, oh, okay, this happened, but it happened now in this time frame. It's okay, you were up and at them. It doesn't make you lack of faith. No.
So my dad had a lot of faith, you know, before his stroke and after his stroke, and I mean, well before, I mean, forever he wanted to lose weight, you know, since he moved here again, 1 million pounds, right? So right. He's always, I mean, since he's been here, you know, I mean, no one wants to be fat. And I mean,
no.
The whole time we're working, you know, he's slow, and he gets slower and slower. And I mean, he said that, like, the stroke is, I mean, it's as severe as it gets, you know, and is the quickest recovery anyone's ever heard of, I mean, after someone who had a stroke and someone his size, you know?
Yes.
And, I mean, God, I mean, my dad always asked for God to show him what he needs to do and blah, blah, blah. And work, his work, I mean, I experienced firsthand that work was so stressful on him. And, I mean, he stress eats, he's, I mean, he, and food was his big problem. And, I mean, having a stroke, I mean, I haven't seen my dad any closer to God in the last week than I have my whole life. You know, and now that he's fully recovered, you know, I mean, he says he's got no plans to lay tile anymore, and that's, I mean, that's what he wants to do. And he said before his stroke, I mean, he was still working, and he said that he'd like to do preaching on the side, you know, and pray for people. And now he can do that. You know, he doesn't have work holding him down. And I'm not, I mean, he's not worried one bit, and I'm not worried any bits, you know, that we're going to be worried financially, you know, and that's like, I mean, I know that's in the back of my dad's head a little bit. How are we going to pay for Felicity's next pair of expensive pants, you know? And we're not, I mean, I know we're going to be okay. You know, and I still have a job, you know. I found a job a week later doing the same thing that I was doing with my dad. And my dad's able to focus on what God needs him to focus on now that it's, I mean, he's lived his life, he's worked, you know, he's not 86, you know, or whatever he is, something, but
86 to me.
Yeah, but, I mean, my dad's lived his life, and he's done what God needed him to do, and now he's on his next path of, you know, now he has to minister to people and tell his story, and, you know, and his weight thing, too, you know, and he's, I mean, he said that he wants to lose weight, and, I mean, a week before his stroke, I'm like, Dad, you shouldn't be eating, you know, 18 chicken nuggets, sitting on the couch, you know, drink two glasses of milk before bed, you know, but, I mean, this has opened his eyes, you know, because if he, after a stroke, and he continues to eat unhealthy and whatever else, he's going to have another stroke.
You just go back, like,
But,
like, when the house is quite clean and everything,
but he,
expected.
I mean, the first, I mean, a few weeks, he ate 1,000 calories a day, because that's all he could eat, you know, so his appetite has gone down, he's lost weight. I mean, it's not all fat weight, you know, but it's, I mean, he's lost weight, and he wanted to lose weight, you know. Now it's to put him on the path of, you know, of what he wanted.
You know, like I said, so my stroke or whatever is helping him right now with my eating, but eventually that's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But again, and this is for, like, big letters and for every one of us. But what we really need, what we want, is the Spirit of God in us. God is what's going to do whatever needs to be done, whatever it is. I'm not even going to say examples. God is what's going to take care of what we need. It's not the road of Damascus itself. It's not the stroke. It's not the thing that helps you do better for a little bit. The Spirit of God in you will make you continue in a better place, you know.
Back to the gifts.
Yes, yes.
And I think you're going to find yourself, I mean, all of us are going to find ourselves, we're going to have people we pray for that are 400 pounds or 72 pounds,
mm-hmm.
you know. And weight is an issue if it's an issue for them. Because I can't make an issue for them, you know. But we're going to find different, you know, we're going to pray for people for, you know, somebody's going to come up and say, I have a really bad hangnail. And you're going to go, oh, please. No, you're going to go, we're going to pray for that. Because that's bothering that person. And you're going to find different things that you're going to pray for. And the big, short, tall, fat, skinny, it's not going to matter.
And it creates empathy, you know, like Pablo, the different thing. Pablo's gone through a lot of things because of his size, but Pablo's gone through a lot of things in the last 10 years, but mainly since 2016-17, gone through a lot of different things that then somebody will come to him like, Pablo, I got this, whatever, and Pablo's like, yep, I know. Okay, yeah, I know what that feels like. And it is. It is. you know, and he just wants to pray. I mean, he's like as naive and whatever, like my mother. They just pray for people no matter what and believe the Bible like a little tiny kid. You just look at green, blue, whatever. Yeah, okay.
That's what we need.
And so, what?
That's what we need.
Yeah, and so because of that, that was his thing. You know, he doesn't want to be sickly trying to convince someone else, love the Lord with all your thing, but I can't.
Except look at Jerome Luginius.
Right.
He was not a picture of health.
Right.
The man was overweight, the man was sickly, the man was, and yet, I mean, God can use a vessel any way, shape, or form. When you walk, if you walk with a limp, if you walk with, you know, I'm just saying, because I just feel so impressed upon me. Ask for the gifts of the Spirit. It's not going to matter. I mean, Felicity could wind up sitting in school going, I really want to pray for that person. I'm not really sure why, but I'm going to just pray for him, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be like, that person over there is really bad. You know, we get impressions upon our heart to pray for somebody. And that's why God says, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the gifts of the Spirit of it, we need to ask for them. They're going to be, I mean, I don't need to keep coming back to it, but I do, because God's just put it so much in my heart. And, you know, we're all going to be examples. We're all, even Chuck,
his phone is just going off. Just ignore it. Or look at it. Whatever. Dad, I think you're getting text messages that you don't know how to respond to. Just leave them. Because I'm getting the same one from the family group.
Oh, from where?
I think Shelly, Pammy, and Mary, because they all must have forgot that you're at church. So.
I think it's Joy, but I'll just call him after you.
There's been times when somebody's requested prayer, and I may not have agreed with them or anything, but my prayer was, Lord, you want me to pray for them? I will pray. Take my fleshly feelings, my fleshly ideas, and help me to pray for that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not me, it's the Lord, and I need to be praying with the Spirit of the Lord, not my spirit. So a lot of times I may not agree, but I ask the Lord to give me the heart to pray no matter what, to, you know.
I texted him.
So it's like you say, the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. And like Susie's been saying,
Susie's fine.
But that's a gift of the Spirit.
Right. And you can't go in to pray for people if you're in doubt yourself that you
right.
are, you know, for that situation. It's not going to work.
Right.
But if I have the Spirit of the Lord to overcome that.
Right.
Yeah,
the thing is that, okay, let's say somebody wants, whoever is here, wants prayer for something. And I don't agree with that. But you know what? Likely, God doesn't agree with my prayer either.
Absolutely.
You know, why is my prayer better? You know, why is my prayer so much holier?
Yeah.
Just pray, and God will take care of it.
Yes.
Just God will do it. You know, we pray. I really don't. I don't know, but we do not know what we ask. We don't know what we pray for. We don't. We pray the best we can, and I will answer it another way. I didn't pray for a stroke, but now I realize that this was a good way of doing it. It was the God way, the only way. Nobody prays for a stroke. I mean, nobody. But now I know it was God. So we just pray. We pray, and God will do it whatever way.
Right.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, my dad, you know, he claimed to be an atheist, but he would get mad at God, you know. But so, and he lived on. but a couple of days before he died, I told him the basics, you know what I mean? And I don't know, it's God's issue, not mine. But I had a dream. Okay, why am I saying this?
well, we ask for something, but it could be God's different way of doing things.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying that. So, you know, my dad, anyways, I dreamt one day that it was a vivid dream. And he was showing me a coffin. It was white. He was showing me that the coffin was his. It was pure. It was pure in everywhere. He was showing me. And he was having this super proud, I want to say, like, of his coffin. He was so proud of it. He was so proud that it was white, that it was pure. And that meant to me, when I woke up or in the dream, that he made it. You know what I mean? So I have no idea what I'm saying.
Welcome to my world.
I was going to make just one comment around this, you know, because Glenn said, you know, you can certainly hinder prayer. I mean, even Jesus says they didn't believe in him, and he left that area with not many miracles because their faith was lacking. You look at Romans 7, where they, you know, even though they weren't praying with a good heart, God honored the prayer anyways. And you talk on top of that, you go, Jesus telling us, you don't know how to pray. Right. I mean, there's lots of things here to get you like, man, I don't know if I can really, you know, nail this.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets back at Kenny thinking on it, and it's important. It's our heart. And as
right.
we talk about it, we gotta get our heart right. And you know, Curtis has been saying every now and then, you know, get every thought into captivity, you know, to God. I mean, and I think that is how you get your heart right, by keeping your thoughts in captivity to God. Even your testimony and sharing about what God is doing in your life and what it took and how it came around is as encouraging, because you, and I think even the people at the medical staff recognize it, because you were not blaming God. You took it as, okay, God, this is what you needed to do, and I'm grateful. You know, kind of like, I get it. Okay, this is what happened, and this is how I can move forward. And you were asking him, how can I move forward?
Right.
And well,
everyone,
you know, God can hear the words of the prayer, even though we're not sure we're praying the right prayer. But he also sees what's in the heart to know what you're trying to pray.
Right?
You know?
Right.
So, I guess there's something there I got to learn.
All of us.
Amen.
I think it's kind of funny that you would think about that. Your dad on Father's Day. And tell that story that was just, maybe there's a connection. I mean, maybe it's a piece of something.